Well, to help break it down, Eddie Johnson from Fox Sports Arizona, an analyst, and can break down the game better than any of us. And, Eddie, you know, it's funny. Every time we bring you on and we start to promote, and it's been a minute since you played in the league, but everybody's like, oh, man, I can't get past that 97 shot. Or this game when he put up 33 against the Jazz. Man, you were the Jazz killer back in the day.
Well, I mean, I played him enough. I mean, I had a lot of contests against them in my career. I've never really counted, but I probably played against Utah more than any team probably in my almost 1,200 games I played. But I appreciate you promoting me, but let me add one more thing. I do have a national radio show on Sirius XM called NBA Today with Justin Termini and myself, and it's from 4 to 7 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Okay, now we can go.
There we go. I love it, man. Absolutely.
Give that thing a listen. So, Eddie, one of the things that I've been looking at is some of the stars in today's NBA and their focus on the Utah Jazz. Did you place extra emphasis when you played against the Jazz, knowing how good they were at that time? And do you think players right now are putting more into these Jazz games?
Well, I think anything. I mean, you knew when you played Utah that you were going to have to play a full 48 minutes. And you knew that you were going to have to deal with them getting to more than one or two options within every play. And historically, it's always been the same. You haven't had many coaches in this franchise's history. Was it about 5 or 6? So, you know, they pretty much have played the same way regardless of the coach. Very methodical, unselfish. And you knew that you were going to have to play extremely hard and concentrate in order to beat them. And so, yeah, I guess I would agree with you. I think them more than anything. And then, too, you know, when the fans are in the stands, I mean, they probably have the best fans in the league, especially in regarding to irritating you. And I had my fun with Utah Jazz fans over the years. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the banter back and forth. And I think they really and truly do have a home court advantage. And so, yeah, I think from a player perspective, I think you're correct.
You know, last year wasn't particularly great for Phoenix until they got in the bubble and then got hot, went undefeated in the bubble. Did that momentum kind of carry over into this season?
Of course. I think I've always believed that. You know, your preceding year carries over. And even as an individual player, I mean, you know, I got better my first 6-7 years in the league because I learned from the prior year and I went home and worked on things. And I think that's what the Suns did. The 8-0 in the bubble gave them a lot of confidence, gave them some hope, and they could see that if they do play well at a high level, they could win. And then with the addition of Chris Paul, this took it to a new level. So, yeah, well, without a doubt, I mean, it carries over. And the Suns are showing that right now.
I was looking at the last 10 games for Phoenix, and they're playing extremely well, playing unified. I just want to know from your point of view, Devin Booker, his performance, his contributions, how much of a role and how much of what is happening right now is on the back of Devin Booker?
A lot. I mean, I appreciate your question, and I'm not getting on you, but that general question right there is, I think, what drives him nuts. Because we're at a point now, what else can he do? I mean, he might be one of the most efficient players in the league. He's averaging about 25 points. He's averaged about 36 over his last 3 games. We know he's a bona fide scorer because he's proven that on a losing team. Now he's still doing it on a winning team and shooting almost 50% from the field and close to 40 from the 3-point line and then about 87% from the free throw line. Is not too many efficient 2 guards in the league better than Devin Booker. All due respect to Donovan Mitchell there in Utah. I think he's doing a fantastic job. And if anybody that knows me know I don't eat my words, he's not better than Devin Booker. And because Devin's proven it with his stats and his winning. Last year you could make that argument because Donovan Mitchell won more. But this year, the way Devin Booker has raised up from 34 wins, not making the playoffs, to having the second-best record in the league, and then efficiency-wise, what he's doing, I think he's having a fantastic season.
Chris Paul also having a fantastic season. And when I say this, it sometimes it can be misconstrued that he's only adding level of intensity in the locker room, but not on the court. Uh-huh. He's having a tremendous year with 16 points and 9 assists a game. But also, has he helped this team mature and kind of help figure out what it's like to be a professional and what it takes to win game in and game out?
Without a doubt. I mean, you don't win in this league without veterans. You just don't. I mean, you guys have a guy in Joe Ingles who I really love, and he takes a hit. You know, sometimes he doesn't get the minutes I think he deserves, but you never hear anything from him. All he does is go out there and defend, shoot the ball, and just play. And every team needs that kind of guy. They need a guy to lead by example, but also a guy that can produce. And Chris Paul, over the last two seasons now at Oklahoma City and Phoenix, has proven that he's one of the greatest leaders that we've ever had in this game. And if you listen to him, you're going to have success. Now, unfortunately for him, they didn't listen to him in Houston. And, you know, and then they fought him in L.A. But he has two teams over the last 2 years where they actually are listening to him, and he's having a lot of success. And so, no doubt, I mean, it's very difficult to look at both of those guys and say, okay, who's the best player on the team, because they're doing different things. I mean, Devin is doing it with his scoring ability, his ability just to make people just work hard, double team. And then Chris Paul's doing it with his shot making when he has to, but also his leadership and helping Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton reach the limits that they're capable of.
Eddie, what do you think the league's perception of Rudy Gobert is? I'm talking from a player's point of view, and I almost ask you to put yourself back in your playing shoes and going against the Jazz and Rudy. Do they respect him? Do they hate him? What's their thought and their feel about going against and playing against Rudy Gobert?
He's a 7-foot center, man. That's all it is. I don't think anybody dislikes Rudy Gobert. It's just a mindset of the way people view the game, which is archaic and silly. You know, because he's not out there going between his legs and shooting freaking threes and all of that, people don't look at him as being very impactful. I happen to think he's the most important player on your team. If anybody deserves any kind of MVP mention, it's him. Because you take Rudy Gobert off that team, and think about it. I think your top four guys right now, I think, are shooting low 40s.
Yeah.
Okay? Without Rudy Gobert, you'd be middle of the pack. That's how important. Because you're not beating people every night shooting low 40s from your key guys. And what he does, he keeps the game close. So he's having a tremendous season. And you know, for whatever reason, he's the most important player on that team, so I wouldn't be shocked if he got MVP consideration, because I think without him, I don't think you all will probably be, you'd probably be fifth or sixth spot.
It was just weird here in Salt Lake City when you had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert as all-stars, and LeBron and KD picked them dead last, and it just kind of made me think, oh, what do they think of this guy?
Well, again, I mean, you know, it's an all-star game. So what's Rudy going to do in the all-star game? Seriously. Embarrass himself? All of a sudden, Rudy going to try to start shooting threes? He just doesn't fit. I mean, he earned the honor to be an all-star, without a doubt. But he doesn't fit in an all-star, quote-unquote, game. Right? It just doesn't jive well. And so that's why. I don't think LeBron had any disrespect for him or anything like that. I just think it's just more so that all-star games for him is, you know, is not going to entail anything of beauty. And then with Donovan Mitchell, he just, you know, again, it's a plethora of guards. I don't think it's any disrespect at all. I don't think those guys should take it that way. If you want to talk about disrespect, why don't you go interview Devin Booker? That's disrespect. I mean, at least they made the all-star team.
he was an alternate, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's alternate. So, you know, so that's the way I look at it.
Eddie, I love your perspective on the game and your insight from a guy that's been around it for so long. But just going back from when you played, would you ever imagine a team shooting, and looking at your son's stats, a team right now that is averaging 34 attempts per game, and that's 15th highest in the league? I mean, that's a far cry from when you played back in the day.
It is. And here's the deal. I mean, like, in – the Suns are an example of analytics and old school. And that, for me, I mean, if you all follow me on Twitter, I mean, analytic people can't stand me. And I don't care. Because I understand how the game should be played and in regards to having a balance in how you can score. And the Suns are a mid-range team and they're a three-point shooting team. Chris Paul, Devin Booker are supreme mid-range players. Mikal Bridges is turning into one. You got DeAndre Ayton in the post. The Suns are doing everything that analytic people tried to take away, right? I mean, Roy Hibbert was having a great run in his career until they all of a sudden said centers need to be shooting three and space out, and all of a sudden he was out of the league. And I think, you know, what the Suns are doing right now, I think leads to consistency come playoff time. And this is where the Jazz need to watch out because they take a ton of threes. And like I said, guys, they're shooting 40%. So when they're not making those threes, then what? And I think that's the difference right now between Phoenix and between any other team right now, Dallas especially as well. And Philly plays a lot like Phoenix, mid-range players, also the three-point shot. And I think that's coming back now, and I think that's the way to win. Lakers won the title last year. Why? Because mid-range, post-up, and three-pointers. They did all three. And I just think that's the balance you should have. And unfortunately for Utah, they don't have that back-to-the-basket guy. I think Derek Favors, maybe, you know, if you give him some touches. But I think that's an issue for them as we break down the season. But, you know, without a doubt, Utah's having a tremendous year. So I don't want you all to think I'm the Jazz. I think they've played tremendous. They've been consistent. And it's going to be a fun game tonight.
You know, there's a lot of love here for Quinn Snyder. And I would say that a lot of people believe – that a large portion of the success is due to Quinn Snyder and what he's done as a head coach. I'm curious to know how Suns fans feel about Monty Williams and his performance since I think he came in the 2019 season. How's he doing? How are fans responding, and how much a part of what we're seeing success-wise for the Suns is due to what he's doing?
Oh, a lot of it. And Chris Paul helped him take it to the next level, and then Devin blending in to what he had to do took it to a higher level. No, I actually believe that the award is going to come down between Monty Williams and Quinn Snyder. I think Monty has a short lead because of where the Suns started from. Utah came into this season with expectations because of what they did last year. Disappointment, obviously, losing in the playoffs was a tremendous series. And then, you know, the Suns right now coming from 34. So I think it's up to Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams with Tom Thibodeau peeking in from the outside. But no, I love Quinn Snyder, one of the coolest coaches in the league. You know, I've said that to him a few times. You know, I mean, you know, he thinks he's cool. You know, the nice outfits, real tight Italian.
Good hair.
On. That's the way you should. Yeah, that's the way you should do it. But no, he's been tremendous. He really has. And he knows, too. He knows if he has success in Utah, he'll coach there for 20 years because you all don't change coaches.
What are some of your memories, favorite memories of going up against Jerry Sloan, speaking of coaches here forever?
Love him. I love him. I told him many times I wish I'd played for him. Just never had the opportunity. I loved him as a coach. I competed with him so much. He ran play. He ran defensive schemes to stop me. And I had to adjust just with the ups and downs. And he knew that I talked a lot of junk. And he would laugh sometimes when I come over by the bench and talk smack to the players. You know, he knew it wasn't personal. I never really got personal with anything, but I did talk a lot of smack. And a few times he used to laugh. And Phil Johnson was assistant coach, and he obviously was the guy that really convinced me to go to sixth man back when I did it back in 1987. So a lot of love for Utah, a lot of love for the fans. I never sensed any negative, you know, conversations when I was there. But they did get on me a lot, and it was back and forth. I wish you all the best, only when you're not playing us.
Well, I don't know. Did you overlap with Vernon Maxwell or not? Because, boy, he sure has some fun with Utah on Twitter.
Yes, of course. Of course. I follow Vernon. I think it's pretty funny. Vernon is a lot nicer than what you think. And it's pretty funny, the back and forth, and nobody should take it personally.
No.
Eddie, did you ever deal with a high ankle sprain?
Hey guys, 1 second. So you all going to hear me order my lunch. It's going to go over the air, okay?
All right, let's see what you got. I'm excited to hear what's on the order.
All right. I want the caprese, shrimp and chicken. I want it double wrapped in a tortilla, okay? And then a house-made lemonade.
No, that's it. And you were just on national radio.
a chicken and shrimp double wrapped. Did you say double wrapped?
Yeah, shrimp and chicken, man. It's salad to go. Y'all got salad to go there? And I'm doing an infomercial for salad to go right now.
No salad to go out here.
Man, I'm telling you, come down to Arizona, you got to get it.
I was going to ask you, Eddie, did you ever have a high ankle sprain like LeBron's dealing with? And how much is this going to set the Lakers back, you think?
I didn't jump high enough. I'm sorry. Mike Brown once kicked me in my calf, and I was out for a month. And I told Mike about it. I said, I don't like you. That's the only way I ever get hurt is somebody kick me, man. But high ankle sprain is, you know, here's the deal, guys, and you all know this. That dude is a freak of nature, man. And you see him last night over on the sideline. I happen to think he's not going to come back until Anthony Davis comes back. That's his mindset. And
here you go, man.
That's his mindset. And, you know, I just don't put nothing past that dude, man. He's a freak of nature. I'm just trying to figure out why all these guys that get injured, they don't follow his blueprint. Like in Brooklyn right now, you got hamstring problems. I mean, you got all this. And I'm just trying to figure out why they don't follow that guy's blueprint, because I think he is the best machine that's ever played sports, not just in the NBA. He just knows what to do. And so, yeah, I think he'll be back. So, Utah fans, don't think he's not going to be back. we're going to have to go through him. He's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
He's the boogeyman. Brooklyn's over there trying to sign 18 guys. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how many more they need, because they're worried about him. And they need to be worried about Joel Embiid. That's what they need to be worried about. But they're worried about LeBron in the West. But it's going to be a heck of a playoff run, and it's going to be fun to see.
Well, Eddie, enjoy lunch, man. We appreciate it. Have a great call tonight. Looking forward to catching up with you in the future, man. This has been a fun conversation.
Good, and I always like talking to Utah stations, because I like to still irritate the fans a little bit. So.
Utah loves you, Eddie.
I'm sure they're going to rip me after, because I said Devin Booker was better than Donovan Mitchell. I already know that, so have fun.
Look, you're still not in Vernon Maxwell's zip code, so you'll always be okay. All right, man.
Guys, take care.
Thanks, Eddie.
Right.
Eddie Johnson played in the league forever, I think 16 years in the league as a player, and now part of Fox Sports Arizona, will be on the call tonight as the Jazz take on Phoenix.